Today, Dad continues with the December series and the fourth reason of the Incarnation, the enfleshment of our Lord, in his sermon titled, Christ Came to Demonstrate the Love of God. We pray that the peace, love, and joy of Jesus Christ will fill your hearts and homes. Merry Christmas.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And isn't this a beautiful, beautiful day? It's Christmas Eve. Tonight is Christmas Eve. And I love all of the difference. I love Easter, and I love Thanksgiving, and I love all the rest. But there's nothing that takes the place of Christmas and Christmas Eve. And so that's what we're going to preach about. We've been preaching all this month about why did Jesus come? And our sermon today is Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God. But before I do that, let's look at some of the letters. We just get so many nice letters. And I hope that you'll write. And at the close of the service, I'll give the address. And we'd just love to have you write to us. And all, maybe you want to send us a gift to help us in the work. We have to pay our way like anybody else. So you just do as the Lord leads. And if you do that, then we'll just be happy. And we'll go where the Lord leads us. But here's a letter from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've asked my daughter to write this for me, for as I am blind and 97 years old. Well, I'm very jealous of this person. I'm 96, and he's 97. And this is a man, by the way, 97, if that isn't disgusting. But anyway, we just rejoice in the Lord. So he's 97. I have been married for 71 years to the same woman. We are both alive yet. I am an old Army vet from World War II. Excuse me. I have attended the Missionary Alliance Church since 1981. My wife answered the phones for Billy Graham. I am homebound and now watch your church service every Sunday morning. We're sending you money so you can keep preaching the gospel. We pray that many will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior from fellow believers. And so I just rejoice, first of all, because this is a man who is a veteran. And my dad was a veteran. He went to fought in World War I in France. And here's a dear brother, and he's from Vietnam. And he is rejoicing in the Lord. Even though he's blind and he's 97, he's happy in the Lord. And I'm going to just tell you something right now. He's a happy old man in the Lord. And the devil doesn't have any happy old men. I'll tell you that. Then we got Ekalaka, Montana. This is the first letter from 97 years old. And here he says, I am nine years old. So we get letters from all ages and all places. And that's just fine. And he says, I'm 9 years old. I live on a small town in Montana called Ekalaka. I've been there. It's a beautiful place, beautiful country. I wrote because I had a pony that I got when I was three. Her hoofs just kept growing and growing, and eventually they started curling upwards, and it made it hard for her to walk. Last year, we decided to put her down. I was really sad. I'd like to know if she will be in heaven. And thank you so much, and send me your Bible study. Well, we get a lot of letters of people, will my pet be in heaven? And I know what it's like to have pets like that. I was raised on the farm. We had dogs, and I had a horse that I loved dearly. And so I don't know of any special scripture that says there'll be animals in heaven. But I take comfort in this. There were animals in the Garden of Eden, so why wouldn't there be animals in heaven? So we'll wait and see. And whatever the Lord does, it'll be the right thing, won't it? Now here's Billings, Montana. I was raised in a Christian family, fell away from Jesus for many years. I found a relationship with Jesus through your ministry. I've learned that my Heavenly Father loves me even when I no longer followed him. Please continue to preach the truth and forgiveness through Jesus. May God continue to bless your ministry. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Here's a person that drifted away. It's easier to drift. This happened to me. And it can happen before you know it. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're a child of God, no matter where you go, his eye's on you. He's watching over you, and he loves you. And you can always come back. And just like the prodigal son, come back. And wouldn't this be something on Christmas Eve? you came back to Jesus. One more letter, Highmore, South Dakota. Just a line to let you know how much we like your service. You preach from the heart and teach the true word of God from the Bible. You make it easy to understand for people who accept Jesus as their Savior. You preach so straightforward, you do not pull any punches, but preach the true word of God. And so that's exactly what we do, and I'll tell you what we do. The emphasis is always on the word of God. Preach the Bible. Preach the word. I tell these young pastors, preach the Bible. And when you do that, you can preach with authority. You don't have to say, well, it might be, it could be, I hope it will be, or something. You say, thus saith the Lord, bang. That's the end of it. And if the people don't like it, they're arguing with God, not with me. Don't get after me, because this is what God says. But when you start giving your own ideas and you're off in the bushes talking about yourself, you can get shot, and you can get shot good, and you should be, because you need to preach the word in season, out of season. Well, now, our sermon. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to demonstrate the love of God. And this is we call this the incarnation. And all the incarnation means the enfleshment of God. It means God putting on a human form, the fleshment of God. And flesh like us, except without sin. He had no sin. So we worship a wonderful God. He has all power. He created all things. And he holds everything and keeps them in order. By him, all things consist. He has all knowledge. He knows all things. Our God knows, has all the wisdom of the world and a lot more besides that. He has all the knowledge. He has wisdom. And he has that wisdom as the use of knowledge. And so what do we have? We have some educated fools. They got all kinds of degrees and they don't have a bit of sense. And we had an old professor tell us, when you have that doctor's degree, just remember this. It doesn't add an ounce. It's just like the kink in a pig's tail. Looks awful nice. Doesn't add an ounce of pork. So God has all the wisdom. He knows the future. He can see into tomorrow. He can see into the next world. He can see into eternity. And there is no one like our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let me tell you what God's main attribute is. God is love. And we can read that in the Bible, that God loves us and he reveals it in every thought we have. And then God says, I'm going to prove my love to you. If you want to really know I love you, then I'm going to do this. You go to the cross, the old rugged cross. I'm going to give you my very son, my only begotten son. And I'm going to have him go to that cross and die. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, He's perfect, and he's the treasure of God, and it's all of the main thing that God has, and he gives him to come and die for us. And so God sent his son, and he came to a cruel world, and in this world, a man and God, he died a cruel death at the hands of wicked men, wicked, evil men. And so if you ever wonder if God loves you, just think of the cross. When Jesus went to that old rugged cross, and just remember this, God loves you. If you have troubles and trials, and sometimes you have troubles and trials, and you just wonder, oh, why am I into all of these things, and I don't know what to do, just look at the cross. If you wonder if God loves you, look at the cross. If you say your prayers, and you pray for something over and over, and it's never answered, it's always a no, and you wonder if God even hears you, then just look at the cross, and you'll see that old rugged cross. You have troubles and trials, and they're going to have them. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so look at the cross by which you overcome the world and overcame sin and made heaven possible for all of us. If Satan tries to discourage you and get you down, and he'll do that to all of us, every one of us, and if you think, oh, I'm such a strong Christian, he never bothered me. I can handle him. Let me tell you something. He's not afraid to tackle you in a minute. He even tempted the Son of God. So don't think he's going to be afraid of little old you. And when you think you're so strong, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And you fall and you can fall hard. Peter didn't think he would ever fall. He didn't think he'd ever deny Jesus. And he cursed and said he didn't remember Jesus. But when you think about the cross, and you know he loves you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. How can we be downhearted when we see how Jesus suffered for us and cared for us? There can be no question about it. The God is love. And the grand expression of that is the love of on the cross of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus was born of Mary, he knew what lay ahead of him. He knew the whole story. Now, Mary didn't. She just knew that old Simeon said that there's something going to pierce your soul. And I can imagine when Mary stood at the cross and saw Jesus crucified, it was something pierced her soul. But she didn't know that was going to happen. But Jesus knew all about it. He knew that it was going to be. He knew that he was going to the cross. And yet he went and he did with rejoicing that he could die for our sins. That wonderful, wonderful Jesus. So this Lord Jesus came to show his love for us. You know, sometimes we have grandchildren and we'll say to the little children, how much do you love me? And the little grandchildren, they'll put their arms around your neck and give you a hug and you're going to think you're going to die. It's just so beautiful. And so we say to God, how much do you love me? And we look at Jesus and his arms are open, but they're nailed to a cross. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. If you would have been the only person in the world, he would have done it for you. That wonderful, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us and he cares for us. And God didn't love us because he loved him. He deserved us our love because we deserved his love. We didn't deserve anything. We just lived the condemnation of God because we're all sinners. We're all failed God. And so some people think, oh, if I would have been better, God would love me. My friend, I'm going to tell you, he loves us even if we're bad, even if we're sinful, even if we're very sinful. And if you're thinking, well, that's wonderful, it sounds just great, but I'm thinking of my sins. And the one thing I hear the most is, I sinned against light. They'll say, I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. I didn't do it in ignorance. I knew it was wrong. I sinned against light. Or I've caused God's name to be ridiculed. Or I made fun of the Christian. Or I've taken Jesus' name in vain. I'm living a terrible life right now. I sin every day. I sinned last night. That's maybe what you're thinking. Well, let me tell you something. God loves you even though you're a terrible, terrible sinner. And God will save you if you come to him with a repentant heart. And sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to clean up first. I'm not going to be a hypocrite Christian. I'm going to be a good Christian, not a hypocrite. And so I'm going to clean up my life first. And then I'll break from some of my habits. And I'll put on some new habits. And I'll clean up my act. And that's, you know where you get that thought? Get it from the devil. Because the devil knows that you're never, ever going to get clean, your act cleaned up. Because you get one mess cleaned up and you're going to have another one bigger yet. And you're going to live that way and you're going to perish that way. You can't clean up your act because we have that old nature. And that old nature is going to let us down and it's open to every sin in the world. And you're going to, the harder you work, the bigger the mess. And I read about one woman. And she lived in a sod house. My wife lived in a sod house for a time. They had a dirt floor. And so she's going to clean up her floor. And she hears the pastor's going to come to visit. So she gets out the mop and some water. And she starts scrubbing the dirt floor to get it clean. And then she puts some good high-powered soap. And the more she worked, the worse it got. That's your old nature. Now you try to clean it up. And the more you work at it, the worse it is. The more flaws you'll see, it's a hopeless task. And then you'd receive Jesus. Come just the way you are. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, he put people to death. and he stood and agreed at the stoning of Stephen. What a horrible, horrible past he had. And it bothered him. And then he said one day, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm going to forget the past. And how do you forget the past? Get your eyes on Jesus. Just live for Jesus, see? And so this Lord Jesus Christ, you can't clean it up. It's like one old pastor says, that God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. And when you come to Jesus, he'll give you a new nature. A new nature. You have the old nature to fight you all the time, but you have a new nature, the nature of Christ. You'll have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and you'll have power you never had before. And maybe you're on drugs and you say, I can't get off, but you can with the Lord's help. You can't do it by yourself. And so you just come to Jesus. And once we're born again, and once we belong to God, then we try more and more to be good. We try to keep his commandments. We try to obey all that he wants. We do that because he loves us. You know, I think back over my life, and my mother, my dear Christian mother, I owe her everything. We had hired men, and they used to smoke all the time. They rolled their own smoke. Bull Durham, if that wasn't a good name for it. They roll their old cigarettes and smoke, and they drink their beer, and they drink their whiskey, and they do their gambling. Hired men. And my mother says, don't you take them as an example. You take Jesus. And I was tempted to do it, because in those days, if you didn't smoke, you wasn't a man. But I never got into it, ever once. I never smoked a cigarette. I never had a drink of beer. And I did it. The thing that kept me, I loved my mother. My mother believed in me. I didn't want to let her down. That's the thing that saved me. And that's what saves us today. We're trusting Jesus, and we love Jesus. And that's why we give our tithe. And that's why we give up our bad habits. And that's why we put on the new habits. And that's why we live and strive to be like Jesus. Because that's the only way we can go. It's the only way we can travel, is to have that wonderful Savior and to love him and to help him. And that new spirit within us will give us strength, strength we never had. Isn't that good news? And so this wonderful gift of God comes. And so then he comes and he says, I want to show you that I love you. I want to show you how much I love you. And if you love me, you'll do things you wouldn't otherwise do. Maybe the law will say you can't do a certain thing, but you do it anyway, speeding maybe. But when you have Jesus and you love him so much, you stop your speeding. And it doesn't matter what the law says. You're going to keep the law because you love Jesus, not because you're scared. It's because you love him. And if God wanted to tell us how much he loved us, he would just do this. That he says, I want to show them how much I love them, and I'll give you my son. And he went to that cross, and he died on that cross. And you can never, ever tell how much he loved us. Now, one of the poets writes it, or a hymnist writes it, the love, he says, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. And we're the scroll, the heaven's the scroll. Well, could you never write the love of God, though you had all of these things? You could never write the love of God. The biographer of Bishop Watts, a man named Ditchfield, he relates when he was a child, one day he went to the house of a very old woman, and he was visiting her. And she asked him to repeat a verse, a little poem that she had on the wall, and it was framed. And so he read it, and it says, Thou, God, seest me. And then she says, Now, when you're older, people will tell you that God will always watching you to see what you do when you do or something is wrong so he can punish you. But she says, I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to take that text home. I want you to remember it all of your life. And that is that God loves you so much, he can't take his eyes off of you. Thou, God, seest me. He loves us so much, he can't take his eyes off of me. The wonderful, wonderful love of God. And so I wish I do love him. and I love him as the best I can, but I always know that he's watching me and he loves me. I read about a little girl, and she had her grandma, and she just loved her grandma so much. And her grandmother would talk about heaven, and she'd talk about Jesus, and she encouraged her, and she just made things so wonderful, and there's nothing the little girl liked more than to go and see her grandmother. And then one day, grandmother became ill, and she passed away, and she died. And so they had to tell the little girl about it, and of course the tears came. And then she stopped crying, and she says, "Oh, won't Jesus be glad to see Grandma?" You see, we always say we'll be glad to see Jesus, and that's right, but Jesus will be glad to see us because he loves us and he cares for us and he wants us to come to him. And you say, "Oh, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ." So we come to Christmas Eve, the night that Jesus was born of Mary. And why did he come? Why was he born? The Christ child was born because God loves us. And Jesus came for the express purpose of making the way of salvation and becoming our Savior because he loves us. Phillips Brooks writes a poem, and it goes like this. It's in the little town of Bethlehem. And one of the verses goes, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, his dear Christ enters in. Did you get that message? The dear Christ enters in. He comes in because you ask him in. In Revelation 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in," the door of your heart, and you have to open the door. Jesus won't knock the door down. He won't pry it open. He will knock. And right now, I know he's knocking on a lot of hearts all over the world, all over the world, in the jungles, in the forests, in the deserts, God only knows where, in the cities, wherever. And he's knocking and he's saying, "I want to come into your heart and I want to wash away your sins and I want to give you peace and I want to give you joy and I need you in my work. And I have something just for you to do for me. Nobody else can do it, just you. So will you let me come in?" And you say, "Oh, yes, but I don't know. How do I let Jesus come in?" I'll tell you how to come in. You're just like if your neighbor came and knocked at the door and you open the door and say, "Come in." Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. You may not hear a noise or anything, but there's just something in you just saying, "I just want Jesus. I love him. I don't even know him. I want him so bad." And I said, "Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. And Jesus, take away my sin because I got lots of sins. I'm sick of those sins. And just wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then, dear Jesus, I'll make you the Lord of my life and I'll forsake my old ways and I'll forsake my sins and I'll walk with you the best way I can." And then just rejoice and thank him. And maybe it's somebody today and you drifted away. And Jesus is saying, "Come back home to the prodigal son." And when he came back, the father had his arms open and he hugged him. And Jesus will hug you if you come back. And I don't care if you smell like the pig pen. Come, just don't clean up. Just come. And right now, this minute, this second, and make that prayer in your own words and just ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. And if you've drifted away, you're his child, and just to forgive you for your waywardness, and he'll do it. And if you do that, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And so you write to us, and we'll send you literature. No matter where you are in the world, we'll send you literature. And then we need to have your help because we have to pay our wages like everything else. And so you ask the Lord, now, Lord, is this something I should support? Should I give them some help? What do you want me to do? And then maybe he'll say yes. If he says yes, say how much, and then do whatever he says. And here's the wonder of technology. I don't care where you are. We get gifts from Norway and the Philippines and Germany. And you know how we do that? Well, they don't use the post office. They go they get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there, it says a place, donate. And you put in whatever you're going to give in your currency. And then you send it, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. James says, you have not because you ask not. So we're asking in a nice way. And if you worry about how we spend it, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we'll watch every penny. So you write to us, and then we'll also send our little booklet, if you want, to our little Bible study every month. And this month, it's Gifts That Money Can't Buy. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. I know it's on the screen, but I'm helping out our people on shortwave radio. They're all over the world. And it's 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying for all of those who have opened their heart to you. I know you've given them peace and you're giving them joy and you're writing their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to see them in heaven. And I just thank you and praise you. And all those who come back, that drifted away, and now they're coming back. And all over the world coming back to Jesus. And now, Lord, I'm praying also. We're praying for the shut-ins. There's some people can't get out. There's some people bedridden. Some people can't get out of the wheelchair. And they're lonely, and not many people come to see them. Help them to know that you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. And we think of the people in prison to bless and help them. And we think of our persecuted church in India. And, oh, God, help them to know that we love them and we pray for them and give them strength and guidance and help. In Jesus' name, amen. So we hope you have a wonderful Christmas Eve. We wish you all a merry, merry Christmas. And we hope we'll hear from you. We'd just love to hear from you. And maybe you got a question. We'll try to answer it. And whatever it is. And then you may be praying for us. You let us know, and that encourages. Whatever it is, have a wonderful Christmas day. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking for you. And God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.